Wherever you are, I want you to lift up your heads. Raise your hands to the one you love the most. And just thank him. Soak in his presence for a minute. And Lord's going to speak to us today, I believe with all my heart. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and give you the glory. Amen? If you love him, I want you to say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you this morning and we give you all the praise and all the glory for all the wonderful things that you have done, especially the gift of eternal life. And we thank you, Lord, because you blasted out of those graves and you have the power over hell and death. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Today, Lord, let us every day in our lives experience the power of your resurrection. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Now, today, deep calls unto the deep. Amen. So the deep calls unto the deep. Now, this is going to be an unusual kind of message for a day like this, but, you know, it's what the Lord called for. So I want you to stay with me, and I'm going to start here. Let me give a little introduction of what I'm going to do the next couple weeks or so. You know, we'll be going into, and this is part of it, we're going into a transformation series. Now, let me tell you that there cannot be, you know, I'm going to give you a punchline at the beginning of this message before I even say anything. The punchline is this. There can be no transformation in your life except by God's visitation. That's the bottom line. You know, and the Lord has blessed us with this beautiful building. And we got, you know, beautiful sermons, wonderful messages, great singing and so forth. But there's something, folks, that we are yet lacking. Jesus, one day, one guy came to him and said, you know, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And after Jesus straightened him out about the good master thing, he said, do this and do the other and so forth. And then he said, well, I've done all these things from my youth and up. And the Lord looked at him and said, well, that's good. But yet one thing you lack. There's always one more thing. And there is one more thing in this place that we lack. Now, I'm not talking about the universal presence of the Lord. Because the Bible says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So we know he's here. Amen. Can you believe that? But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his manifested presence. The one where when the glory fills the place, I can't stand here and preach. When nobody can stand here and sing. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. Now, the deep is what's going to bring about that kind of deep. Now, I'm going to be going about that this morning. I'll take it a little bit slow, preach a little bit, teach a little bit, you know, just so we can follow. I'm starting here in Psalms 42. I always love to read the Psalms because, you know, apart from the Lord himself, this man, my favorite character in that Bible, you know, as the heart. Psalm 42 and verse 1. There's a song we sing about this. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now, this was a man that was thirsty for God. Listen to this. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Well, you know, my prayer is, when shall the Lord come and appear visibly in his temple? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. My tears have been with me. They've been my meat night and day. When they continually say, where is their God? Well, that could be people, could also be demon spirits mocking and so forth, you know. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. See, I went with them to the house of God, even with, you know, the voice of joy and praise. With a multitude that kept holy days, such as today, well, you know, some people go to church on a day like this, you know, they think it's a holy day, well, whatever, you know. Some people, you know, the Bible says, you know, some people regard one day above the other regard all the same, you know, let every man be fully persuaded. Amen. But the Lord is Lord of every day. Hallelujah. Now, on holy day, he went to the house of God, but his soul was still cast down. You know, his soul was cast down. There are many people that come into the house of God and their soul is cast down for whatever reason. They have a burden, there's a personal challenge, there's something going wrong in their family, and so on and so forth. You know, but this man, the reason his soul was cast down was because he wanted more of God. He couldn't have enough. You know, he was there, they were praising the Lord and everything, but he was like, no, I want more of God. Hallelujah. So when he was there, you know, he said, oh, why art thou disquieted within me, oh my soul? I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan. Oh my. Deep, verse 7, calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water sprouts, my, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. It's like, I mean, this guy is standing there, and there's a big tsunami of God's presence just whoo over me, you know. And it's like, oh, Lord, thy waves and thy billows are over me. But before he could get that experience, he had to reach out deep in his soul. There had to be a longing in his soul. Now, that's one of the things that is missing. Especially in the Laodicean church of today, which is where we are at. Jesus said in Revelation 3 and 17, he was talking to the Laodicean church, which is typical of this last day church. He said, because you say that you are rich and all these things, increase with goods and have need of nothing, but you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know, but before that, he said, look, I have somewhat against you. What did he have against them? He said, because you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were either cold or hot, he told them. You know, if you are cold, you don't care anything about the Lord. But if you are hot, you are on fire for God. Now, God doesn't want any in-between. There's a lot of in-between people in the church. God doesn't appreciate, he doesn't want any of that in-between stuff. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve and get in passion with God or quit. You know, that's right. You say, well, that's strong. Well, you know, Jesus said the same thing. I would rather you were cold, completely out, or you are on fire for God. Hallelujah. There's no middle ground, folks. You can't just be coming to church the rest of the days. You have no clue what's going on, you know, about the Lord and so on. You know, you just come to church and so forth. You know, that's lukewarmness. And Jesus said, I will spew you. It has a bad taste in his mouth. Lukewarm water. It's just not good. You know, Jesus said, I will spew you out of my mouth because you are lukewarm. He doesn't want any of that lukewarmness. You say, well, tough. That's a tough language for a day of joy like this. No, this is exactly the reason why the Lord was resurrected. Amen. Do you believe it? Well, let me read it to you. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. This part here is not, you know, marked down in my message, but, you know, I just designed somebody saying, well, you know, we want some kind of joyful message and so forth like that. Well, this is a joyful message when it's all finished. You know, amen. You know, he said, look, know ye not, chapter 6, Romans and verse 3, that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, so that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, that's what we're talking about today. Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For as we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Are you crucified with him? Hello? Are you crucified with Christ? Then stay on the cross. Amen. Don't come down. The devil teased him to come down. You stay on the cross now if you are crucified with Christ. I am crucified with him, he said, that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that henceforth we should not serve sin. And he goes about in this place. I don't have time to read all about it, but how he wants to transform. This place, this chapter is about transformation. Your members were once instruments of sin unto death. Transform your life as instruments of righteousness unto life. Well, that transformation cannot happen, you know, except by an encounter with God's presence. An encounter. And I have some examples to share from the scriptures, if time allows, you know. But let me get back to this lukewarm spirit. Jesus said even to the Ephesian church that were fired up initially, but he said, you've lost your first love. Well, there are many of us who have lost our first love. Because when we first came into the Lord, we were on fire for the Lord. We were passionate. Nobody could shut you up. No matter what it is, you couldn't wait to get back. If you got away from the presence of the Lord for a few minutes, you couldn't wait to get back. Now, if you have never experienced that passion for the Lord, maybe you've never really met him. But if you have met him and you've experienced that passion and you don't have it anymore, then it's what's called losing your first love. And you need to get back on track. Amen. Amen, somebody. And we all need to do that, you know, because many of us have lost that passion. You know, there was a time when you first encountered the Lord. You'd be the first in the prayer meeting. The first. And you'd stay there after everybody's gone. You're still crying for God. Today, when there's prayer meeting, you'll show up. You'd rather do something else. Go to the movies or do whatever, you know. And then let me tell you something. When you come into service and you're listening to a message like this, or you think the service or the praise, the session that's going on where you're worshiping the Lord, you think it's too long, then you need revival in your soul. Amen? If you can't digest a message like this, you need real revival. You know, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, so there is an awakening. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from that dead, and Christ will give you light. There's an awakening, and God is calling us to that. But we're going to get back into this message. Now, this man, he was crying out for the Lord. His soul was thirsty. I want to read some of the things that he said. Now, I'm going to come back and say some things that the Lord wants me to say. Let's go back to Psalm 63. I'm going to read from verse 1. Psalm 63. I want to use this man's example of thirsting after God to see how we should live. Oh God, he said in verse 1. Thou art my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longeth for thee as in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Can you say that about yourself? Can you say that early I will get up in the morning, I will seek the Lord. My soul, there's a burning inside of me unless I get into his presence. Nothing can quench it. Can you say that? Well, if we can't say that, we need a visitation. Amen. We need a visitation from God. Now, he said, look, I want to see thy power. Verse 2. I want to see thy power and I want to see thy glory, even as I've seen it in the sanctuary. Well, you know, this doesn't end with just coming to church. When the presence of God envelopes us in the church, when you leave, when you get home, you pray this prayer. I want to see your power and your glory like it came upon us in the church. Amen. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Oh, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now listen to this. My soul shall be satisfied. Oh my. with marrow and fatness. Now, this is talking about spiritual satisfaction. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my lips shall praise thee with joyful. When I remember thee upon my bed. I mean, this man, whether he's in the bed, whether he's wherever he's at, his mind is longing after the Lord. Whether I'm on my bed, wherever I am, even in the night watches, he'd get up in the night and get a hold of the Lord. Now, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Amen. In the shadow of his wings, you will rejoice because he has been your help. My soul followeth hard after thee. Now, I want to say to everybody here, young folks, old folks, new in the Lord, been there many years, can you say that your soul is following hard after the Lord? Or do you follow harder after your daily bread? You know, I'm not making light of the fact that we need to earn money and pay our bills and so forth. But your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Amen. And I tell you, you know, there have been many sparrows and so forth. And the sparrows are so cheap that when you buy two, you get extra three. But none of them will fall to the ground without your Father's knowledge. But be of good cheer, he said, you are of much more value than many sparrows. But sometimes we forget about that. And we worry about everything and so forth. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, folks. You know, but labor to enter into the rest that God provides. There is a laboring, you know, that we have to do. But they're not exactly for the things that will perish. There is a laboring to get into the deep things of God. And that's lacking. I look around, it is lacking. There's no energy. There's no spiritual energy and passion in people today. They come to church, we do all right and so forth, but there really isn't anything. You know, let me tell you something, folks. We need to yearn more after God. Amen. Amen, folks. Listen to this in Psalm 84. I'm going to read about three verses there. Psalm 84. I'll read verses 1 and 2 and maybe jump to verse 4. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. You know, in those days, to enter into the house of the Lord was like to enter into his presence. You know, that's all. They longed to enter into the house of the Lord. You know, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Does your heart and your flesh cry out for the presence of God? Or are you just a passenger most times through life? You know, just going and so forth like that. You know, Jesus said, look, I looked, and I saw the sheep lost, you know, and so forth. So he came, you know, to redeem them back. Even the prophets, they looked and said, I see Israel as sheep lost without a shepherd. People are just going. They don't know what they're doing, coming and going and so forth, you know. But listen to this. Verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. For us, it is blessed are they that dwell in thy presence. Hallelujah. They shall be still praising the Lord. You know, all the time, they'll be praising the Lord. Amen. A new generation of priesthood to offer and show unto God his wonderful praises. You know, you're a holy nation, folks. Don't mess with all that stuff in the world. You know, look, if you love the world, the Bible says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Period. Hallelujah. So you can choose. You can love the Lord or you can love the world. But if you love the world and you like to do the things of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Can I get amen on that? Amen. That's the truth, folks. Now, let's read some more things about how this man was passionate about God. How he longed for the presence of God. How he longs to hear the word of God. And what the word of God means to him. Now, I don't know, you know, we've challenged people about the word of God from time to time. What does the word of God mean to you? Last time we talked about, you know, the bread of life. You know, what does it mean to you? Listen to this. In Psalm 119, verses 81 and 82. Now, this whole chapter, I challenged us to read all of it last time. Talks about, you know, this man's passion for the word of God. Psalm 119, verses 81 and 82. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, oh my, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? This man can't wait to hear the word of God. I mean, he wants that word. He wants that presence. Whatever he's doing, his mind is on the Lord. Now, Psalm 130. Let me move quickly through these scriptures because there's a few other things I want to say besides just reading these verses. Psalm 130. Let me read verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. Oh my. And in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Folks, do you know what that means? I mean, if you tell your kids, those of you who are parents and kids, you know this. If your parent tells you that tomorrow we're going to your favorite vacation place, you know, we're going to leave at 6 a.m., that kid can't sleep all night. Hello, folks. Are you still with me? They might even come in at 4 a.m. and say, Dad, isn't it time? Are we ready? They will be watching for the morning. Is it 6 o'clock? They're watching. They're waiting for it. They cannot sleep. My soul waited for the Lord. Hallelujah. More than they that watch for the morning. This man, he can't get enough of God's presence. Well, can we say that about ourselves? Can you? Well, if we can, we need a visitation. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm, towards the end of this, I'm going to talk about how the deep calls out the deep. But that's what this is all about. Now, first of all, we're explaining what the deep is. You know, the other deep. The other deep is the presence of God. Not just some shallow, you know, thing and so forth. You know, now when the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Well, I make the argument that if his presence is everywhere, and in his presence is fullness of joy, how come everybody doesn't have fullness of joy? Well, because there is one kind of universal presence, and there's another kind of manifested presence. There's a manifested, revealed presence of the Lord. And when you get into that light, hallelujah. When you get into that light, and if you can stay in there, there is no death. Amen. Praise the Lord. The trouble is people can't stay. They go in and out and so forth. There's been a few people that were able to stay. Enoch, he figured out a way to stay in that light. He stayed right there with the Lord every day. He walked with God. He was in that presence, you know, and he approached close enough to that light. One day he was turned into light and he was gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, Jesus, of course, he never went in and out of that presence. You know, my Father is always with me. Amen. He was always in that light. He was always there. Praise the name of the Lord. And in fact, that light, for him to die, that light had to depart from him for a minute. My Father, why has thou forsaken me? Because the glory had to leave. Because when you are in that glory, you cannot die. And that glory had to leave him for a minute in order for him to die, that we are celebrating his resurrection today, you know. But he lost that glory for a minute because he wanted us to enter into it. Amen. The glory that I had with you in the beginning, I pray that I may share it with them. I want them to be where I am so that they may see my glory. Praise ye the name of the Lord. It's the only way we're going to get that glory, folks. It starts with visitation and transformation. We have to be transformed. You know, the Bible talks about many transformations and different things, but there is one particular one that I'm honing in today. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15 and verse 16, this was another man that God's word was a passion and a fire in his bones. And he loved to eat the word of God. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me that joy. Remember we talked about the bread of life last time? That find the word of God, eat them. The word was unto me that joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. Now, there are many promises from the Lord about seeking the Lord, you know, and how he will bless. And I'm going to read some of them. I want you to mark these things down and search them out. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. You know, we're not going to find the Lord if we seek him haphazardly. You know, half of the time, or most of the time, when we pray, our mind is not even with the Lord. When we pray, you know, it's a couple minutes prayer and then we run off. You know, we don't even wait in his presence to hear him speak. Well, if you're not hearing God's voice, I don't know, you know, how you're going to make it through life, you know. But we need to wait in his presence. God is not going to bend to our schedule. Hello, folks. God is not going to bend and be accommodated inside our schedule. Oh, no. He will be first place or no place at all. Hallelujah. So, you know, ye shall seek me. This is the way that you find the Lord. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. When your soul is thirsty for God, that's when you'll find him, folks. Now, in the mercy of God, if God were to follow this scripture every single time, he would not answer any of our prayers. But because of his abundant mercy, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Because of his mercy, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, you know, come unto the throne of grace. And because of his mercy, and especially if you have faith, you can get anything almost, but you're never really going to get that, you know, longing, satisfying, you know, in your soul. God created this human spirit and soul with a void. And he's the only one that can feel it. Amen? He is the only one that can feel it. All other things, you know, they are temporary and they cannot feel that void. Only the presence of the Lord. Now, when Adam walked in the shadow of his wings, when he walked in the presence of the Lord, you know, that eternal life was rubbing off on him. And the moment they went away and disobeyed the word of God, you know, the next thing you know, that life began to dry up. Dry up. You know, they used to live many, many hundreds of years, sometimes even 900 years in those days. Today, if people live 70 years, people will be shouting that they live long. I don't know where that came from, but because people don't understand how to get in the presence of God. We have lost his presence. We are now living in the world, and all we know is how the world does his things. Does their things, you know. But God is calling us back. Amen. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Turn with me quickly and see what he says. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise from God. When you are hungry, when you are thirsting after righteousness, God said you will be filled. And he gave also a promise to Jeremiah and to every one of us that's here in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. He said, call upon me, seek after me, get a hold of the Lord, and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know yet. That means, you know, some people say, well, I don't need this message because I'm already here. Well, it doesn't matter if you are here, you can get over here. Amen. Because the Lord is so great above everybody, you know, and whatever you have from God right now is like taking a bucket to the ocean. That's all you got. Hallelujah. What you got from the Lord right now is a bucket full, but there is an ocean that he wants to give to you. Hallelujah. And you can take your bucket to that ocean as many times as you want, and it will never be depleted. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to give us an overwhelming and overflowing. The things of God are always running over. They are not. But when we talk about running over, people are thinking of finances. That's what they're talking about. Press down, shaking together, running over. They're always thinking about. No, I'm talking about God's presence running over you. Knocking you out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Knock you out so you can't even stand like this and preach. You know, I'm waiting for it, Lord. Knock me out of here. You know, when that presence comes, nobody be able to move. You just be captivated by his presence. Well, if you've ever been in his presence, you know, some people say, well, I'll be in the presence of the Lord, and they brag and so forth. They've never been in the presence of God. I'm going to show you what the presence of God does to people after I read these next few verses. you know, that he promised us. You know, some of the things that he promised us, if you seek after the Lord, here are some of the things that you are going to get. Let me read Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 9. Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. Well, it's not always about, you know, physical bread. It's about the things of God. Blessed are they that seek after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. And, you know, God will give you all these other things. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. He said, ho, 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 everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and come with no money. This kind of thing that God gives, you don't need money. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine, milk, and so forth without money. But you must come. Hallelujah. You must come. Praise the Lord. You must come. Just like we said last time, you must eat that bread of life yourself. Nobody else can eat food for you. It cannot be done. From the day the baby is born, they cut the umbilical cord. That's it. That from that day on, that baby must eat by itself. Amen. You must eat the food yourself. But you must come to the Lord. The Lord is there. He said, come unto me. You know, that's an invitation. But not everybody will come. But blessed are those who come. Amen. For they shall be filled. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's read Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Let's see the promise of how God will pour waters upon the thirsty soul. You know, I will pour waters, he said, upon him that is thirsty. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. And I will pour floods. Now, God likes abundance, overflowing of things. Floods, not just sprinkles. You know, it's a song that says, well, there shall be showers of rain. We've seen the sprinkles, but now we want a flooding. You know, sprinkles, yeah, that's fine. But we want the floods. Amen. And God gave a promise, and I was standing on this promise, you know, the last few days. And I said, Lord, you said, I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and upon thy offspring. Hallelujah. My blessing shall be poured out. Now, you know, but first, you know, those who are, you know, ministers of the altar must be first partakers. Amen. Amen, folks. So I want to be first partaker of this presence. Amen. You know, you can't communicate his presence unless you have gone up and down in that presence, and then you can deliver the same unto people. But let me go back now and tell us an example or some examples of people that were in that presence and see what that presence did to them and see the transformation that the encounter with his presence brings into people's lives. What I've been talking about for the past few minutes is telling you that, look, unless there is a deep yearning in your heart, you cannot get the deep things of God. So that's why this message titled, The Deep Calls Unto the Deep. But when there's a deep yearning, you know, and we need it not only personally, individually, but we need it as a corporate body. When we come into the house of the Lord, we need to be focused. You come in here, don't be thinking about your job. Don't be thinking about what your husband or your wife said to you or what somebody did to you last time. That's the reason why the Lord can't move. Amen. Amen, folks. And how many of you know that during that praise and worship, you know, which a lot of people miss, when you miss that praise and worship that goes on here, you know, and so that's the time when we're praising, that's the time the Holy Spirit will speak. You know, when you are in tune with the Lord. Amen. Amen, folks. I'm going to read it to you. Let me read that first, and then I'll go to the examples that I want to give. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Let me read verses 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Now, they've got to be united in praise. You know, they can't, Your mind can't be floating around and doing all these other things. It's not going to work. But if you can get that unity in praise, when they were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with their trumpets and cymbals, you know, and tambourines and so forth like that, and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, "For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever." It came to pass even then that the house was filled with a cloud. Hallelujah. The glory and the cloud presence of the Lord filled the house when they got everybody in the unity of praise and worship. Jesus said, "I'm looking for those that will worship me in spirit and truth." Now, that's where the visitation begins, folks. Now, there is something also. Let me read this. Just reminded me, read chapter 7. Let me read this before I, you know, go on to the next thing. Chapter 7 and verse 1. Verses 1 and 2. Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, this was when they were dedicating the new temple and so forth, the fire came down from heaven. Amen, folks. And consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And every time I see that phrase in the Bible, I underline it. The glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, this is not something, it can be caught on camera, but I'm not talking about being caught on camera. I'm talking about everybody witnessing the presence and the glory of God. Hallelujah. There's some ingredients that we need. We need a yearning. We need a passion in our hearts. We need God to take us back to the place where we first believed. Hallelujah. And we need something, a burning and a tearing in our heart. You need the fire to be freed inside your soul. You need to be set on fire again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me read the story of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Now, Isaiah was a man of God, a great prophet, we know. But there was a transformation that came in his life in Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, he got inside the glory presence of the Lord. He saw something, and he was like, "My lions, you know, this is really something else." And let's see what happened to him. Isaiah chapter 6. And let me start from verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train. Oh my, does God travel with an entourage? Absolutely. You know, his train filled the temple. The glory, the Shekinah, the presence of God, it filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. One had six wings. The twain covered his face and twain his feet, and with twain he flew, and so forth. And one cried to another, and so forth. Holy, holy, holy. I mean, these beings were just moving and so forth. You know, wheels turning and so forth. All kinds of things going on. The Lord was there. And they said, "Look, the Lord of hosts is holy. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, folks, I tell you something. There is a dichotomy, you know, because there will be gross darkness upon the world. But at the same time, the glory of the Lord will be risen upon thee. There will be times that people in the world don't know anything, you know, and they think there's evil. But, the people that are connected with his presence, they will be saying the earth is full of the glory of God. And everybody will say, "Well, there is violence in the earth." Well, there are some people connected with his presence. They will be saying, "The earth is full of the glory of the Lord." Because everywhere they go, the Shekinah is all around them. And that's all they can see. The earth is full of thy glory, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a place where we want to be. And after he saw that presence, my, what do you think he did? Do you think he ran off there, you know? He said, even the posts of the doors were moving and so forth. You know, I mean, it was just moving. The voice of the Lord filled the house and so on. And it's smoke and cloud and all these things. I mean, what do you think he did? You think he ran off there and started boasting that I've seen the presence of the Lord? Well, you know, the people who do that, they haven't seen his presence. This is what the presence of the Lord does to you. It makes you feel like you are rags and nothing. Amen. Woe is me, for I am undone. So, mighty prophet, woe is me, for I am undone, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of other unclean people. And he began to cry. And he said, Lord, his heart was yearning. He has seen, his eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. And there was a transformation coming. Amen, folks. There's a transformation coming. And then when the Lord saw that yearning, then one of the seraphims flew to him and took one of the coals from the altar. That was a special altar, folks. He took one of the coals from the altar and he laid it upon his mouth. That's the transformation, folks. It's called Holy Ghost branding. This man was branded by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. The fire from the altar. He was branded. He was a changed man. God touched his tongue. From that point on, man, he prophesied some of the greatest things in this Bible about the Christ. In Isaiah 9 and 6, unto us a child is born. Hallelujah. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Hallelujah. He's going forth. He began to prophesy. You know, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. And he's the everlasting Father, folks. And he brought it right down. And he gave some of those greatest things about the Lord in that Bible. You know, there was a transformation that came. But above all, you know, there was something that the presence of the Lord revealed in his life, that he needed a circumcision of his tongue. Amen? Now, you should listen to the message, the deadly poison and unruly evil. On the website, the tongue. He needed a circumcision of that tongue. The Holy Ghost coals of fire did it for him. And there was a change. He realized that he was an unclean. That's just nothing. I need his presence. But God, you see, that's the beauty of his presence. And that's the glory of the grace of God. God sees us through his grace and the blood of Jesus as clean. But when his presence comes, it makes us see ourselves as rags so that you can get more of him. Amen. The moment you see yourself as you have arrived, then you have finished. You know, but, you know, I press toward the mark. Those things that I already received and known and so forth, I count them, but dunk! That am I winning, that am I know the power of his resurrection. Philippians 3 and 10. And I keep pressing forward. I want more of God. Amen. And look, I'll tell you something. I don't have time to read all the scriptures now because it will take time, so I'll just paraphrase the rest of them. Moses was a man that wanted more of God. Initially, he didn't even know the Lord at all. But there was a transformation in his life. You can read Exodus chapter 3. You know, when he got to Mount Horeb, he saw the burning bush. And the Lord, he appeared to him in a flame of fire in the bush. The bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. And that was the first sign that God would use to draw him in. Now, many people today, if they see the glory, they'll run off. And they will proclaim it all over the place. I've seen the glory of God. And they will never go deeper into that presence. Are you listening, folks? But Moses, when he saw that sign, he said, I will now turn aside and I will check it out. You know, he was drawn to the flame like a moth is drawn to the flame. You have to be drawn to the signs and wonders, folks. You can't, you know, we can't run off just after we see some signs and wonders. You will miss the real presence of the Lord. Amen. He was drawn. Read it in Exodus chapter 3, verses, the first four verses. You can read it there, you know. And then, as a matter of fact, let me just read something out of there. The Lord is wanting me to read it. I was going to just skip over it, but I want to read something out of there. I want to bring something out, folks. Stay with me for just a few minutes. Exodus chapter 3. Let's see this encounter. You know, when he saw him and he said, I will turn aside in verse 3. I see why this great side, why the bush is not burnt. And when he turned aside, see, now, The Lord waited until he came near. He showed him a sign to pull him closer, but he could have just run off. But so when the Lord pulled him closer, now notice what the glory of God does. This is what the Lord called me back to read. See the transformation that happens when the presence of God comes. 1 minute, it was bush. It was dirt. It was stones. It was rocks. Perhaps some grass. 1 minute. The next minute, it was holy ground. Because there was a transformation. The presence of God transforms dirt, stone, and all these things that are worthless into holy ground. How much more the very temples of God that God built for an habitation of himself through the Spirit. If the presence of God can change, and God had to tell him, that's holy ground now, take off your shoes. 1 minute, he might have passed there before then. It wasn't anything holy about it, you know. And after the Lord left, he was in holy ground. Amen. Some people think that, you know, something's holy. No, the only thing that makes anything holy is God's presence. Period. And if his presence is not there, you can forget it. Amen. Hallelujah. But the glory of God turned that dirt and that bush into holy ground. Just think of what he can do for your life. Amen. Now, he was transformed. And he always said, Lord, show me your presence. Show me your presence. One day he said, no, you know, and the Lord finally showed him something and so forth like that. I don't have time to go into all that. I got to move on to some other transformations that we see in the scriptures. Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, before his name changed to Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, and he was chasing down, getting orders to kill the disciples and so forth. And he had an encounter, a brilliant light. Oh my, on the road to Damascus. And Jesus appeared to him in that light. And he said, you cannot kick against the flow. Now, this is the one time, well, there may be a few others, but this is one time that God took a hold of because of his eternal purpose. But even after he did that, Paul still had to yield. If Paul hadn't yielded, of course, the Lord knew he would yield. But there was an encounter. This was somebody that was hell-bent on killing the Christians. And the moment that he had this encounter, his life was changed, and he became a champion of the very cause that he was seeking to destroy. This is what an encounter with God can do. And you've known all the stories and the exploits of Paul. I don't need to go into all that. But he was somebody that tried to kill the disciples at first. And there are many, 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 many people. Hallelujah. You know, and time will fail me to tell you of some others. But even John, the so-called beloved disciple. Well, I don't know why he called himself beloved disciple. You can be the beloved disciple too. Amen. Praise the Lord. John, he used to sit up close to the Lord and so forth like that, you know. But there was a difference when the Lord came to him on the Isle of Patmos. Read the first few chapters of the book of Revelation. Actually, Revelation 1. When he came, his eyes were like a flame of fire. It was a different thing. He came in a different way. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. I am he that was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. How many of you can say amen? Amen. And John said, I fell at his feet as dead. That's what the presence of God will do to you. It'll make you fall down as dead. Life and strength will go out of you. You won't have any breath left. Takes away your breath as a real presence of God. Hallelujah. Now, there's a difference when Jesus was couched in that human flesh. And they used to bump up and down against him and so forth like that. But when he came, when he was revealed in the glory of the Father, John couldn't stand in his presence. He fell down at his feet as dead. Transformation is brought about by God's visitation. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that God's people will be willing and ready in the day of God's power. Are you? Psalm 110 and verse 3. Thy people, O Lord, shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. Oh, from the womb of the morning, oh my, the dew of youth, even in the womb of the morning, folks, you get up early in that morning, you lift up your hands to the Lord and so forth like that, God begins to renew your youth. Hallelujah. In the secret place of the Most High, he begins to renew your youth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, there's a challenge that God wants to give us today. Remember, when he told the people in Acts, when he was about to leave Jesus, he said, look, you wait until the endowment of power. You're going to receive something. You're going to have an encounter. You're going to receive power to be my witnesses. So they waited. And then in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in the upper room with one accord. Hallelujah. They were all there with one accord. See, that one accord, you see right there. They were not in their different houses and so forth. Well, the Holy Ghost could have come in their different houses too. We know that. But they gathered into one place. And then there was a moving and a shaking. There was a mighty wind. There was a blowing that filled the house. And cloven tongues of fire, folks, came upon them. Oh, my. There is something to be said about corporate prayer in the church. I know we all pray at home, and you pray in your different places and so forth. But let me stand here and declare to you today that unless we come into this house, this same house where we stand at the gates and say, this house of the Lord, this house of the Lord, and so forth. Unless we come, my house shall be the house of prayer, folks. Unless we come into this house and cry unto the Lord and pray in this house, you know, this visitation and this, you know, incredible presence that I'm talking about will not come, folks. It won't come. Let me tell you something else, too. When God wants to do something new, this is the cycle of how it starts. This is the cycle. First of all, you know, everything begins with God because he's the Alpha and the Omega. Amen, folks. First of all, God says, it is time. You know, and when he says it is time, then he begins to move some people to prayer. Now, God's not going to do anything when people are not praying. It's not going to happen. Even when he says it's time, it's not going to happen. Because he said, my people do not know the day of their visitation. You know, so they will miss it. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Thy people shall be ready and willing in the day of thy power. In the day of visitation, will you be ready? Will you be there? Now, when God says it's time and begins to motivate some people to prayer, then one saint begins to say to another saint, it is time to pray. And then they begin to say, well, you know, and folks, those of you who have been around any kind of revival, I want to remind you that those revivals started in the prayer meetings. Think back, any one of you who have ever been in anything. It didn't start in some music and some stuff and all these other things that we do. No, those things are wonderful and we must have those things. But it started in those prayer meetings. Those all-night prayer meetings and people fall on their face and cry out to God. And when people are not worried about, it's 6 o'clock, I must leave. you know, this and that. You know. Hallelujah, folks. Therefore, by the grace of God, beginning this Wednesday, our prayer, weekly prayer meeting resumes here at 6 p.m. That's not to cater to anybody. If you can join, join. If you can't join, don't complain about it. But at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, beginning this Wednesday, we will be here to cry unto the Lord. Amen. And our theme is going to be, what is going to be the theme? Transformation. We are looking for his visitation. It's not going to be about preaching. It's not going to be about that and so forth. We preach all the time. This is preaching that I'm doing here, you know, and so forth. But there is something that we are yet lacking. And what we are lacking is what we must get a hold of. Amen. We have Monday men's prayer meeting. We have Tuesday night prayer meeting. And Thursday night for the women, which we do on the phone. But this house shall be the house of prayer. And this house has not been the house of prayer, folks. And I'm calling out an indictment. And we must come back in this house of prayer. Because when we dedicated this building, some of you might remember, we had 24-hour prayer right here before we opened this service, the first service. And we were here all night. And some of us were here longer than 24 hours. We cried out to the Lord and so forth, and God gave so many tremendous promises that are now about to fall on the wayside unless we get back into prayer. That's the reason why Jesus, in the morning, they'd be sleeping and so forth, he's up on the mountain. One day he was there, he was praying until blood was coming out of his forehead. Folks, this is serious business. The deep calls unto the deep. And when Jesus was able to pray that kind of prayer, angels even came and ministered unto him. But Jesus wasn't looking for angels and so forth. There was something. He needed to get a hold of God. He was praying for every soul that is seated here today. And he prayed through for you folks. He said, God, I got to get every one of them. And he said, I will lose none of them except the son of perdition. And I will raise them up at the last day. I don't care if they go to the graves or whatever. Jesus will raise them up at the last day. Because he prayed that prayer, blood was coming out of his forehead, folks. Do you have that kind of power with God? Can you pray that kind of prayer? The psalmist said, I prayed and God stood up and was blasting out of his nostrils. Thunder and smoke were going out of before him in answer to David's prayer. Do you have that kind of prayer? Power? Do you? Well, we're going to get that kind of prayer power again. Amen. Let me read this final promise. Then I'm going to ask us to pray. In the book of Isaiah. And I'm so overwhelmed right now. In the book of Isaiah, let me just read one verse here in chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 5. Folks, we are looking for this. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. That means you can have it in your home. But also upon all her assemblies. Every time we gather together like this, this is what God wants to do. He will create a cloud and smoke by day, and a shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory, it shall be for a defense, saith the Lord. Now, this kind of glory and presence, the enemy cannot press into it too quickly. Hallelujah. It's called in the shadow of his wings. Dwelling in the secret place. Now, this is a secret place that most people don't know. It's a secret place of prayer. People don't know it. People rather do everything else than pray. Folks, let's stand to our feet here this morning. Stand to your feet here this morning. There is a challenge that we are throwing out for prayer and corporate prayer. I know we are doing it on the prayer line and so forth, but it's not enough. And we have posted the sign on the new sign out there, Wednesday, 6 p.m. When you get off work, come straight here. That's how the revival came in those days, folks. Hallelujah. Oh, no, that's not a good thing for people to hear these days. Prayer? What's that all about? Well, that's how you get a hold of God. And you shall find me. Where you shall seek me with all of your heart. Amen. And God, he will test us too. You know, the first time you come, he's not going to come down the first 10 minutes. Oh, no. He's going to wait until that flesh is completely broken. Because you can't handle the presence of God the way we are right now. But when we continue to cry unto God, he will cleanse us. He will take away all the filthy things of the mind and so forth. And when his presence comes, folks, and when we enter into that presence, my prayer is that we should not depart out of it. Amen. Even when we leave from here, we should be moving in and out. You know, living in that presence, walking in that presence, walking with God, and so forth like that. Transformation that we are looking for must be preceded by prayer that leads to God's visitation. I want you to raise your hands. Raise your hands here this morning and pray with me. I want you to say, Lord, I need that fire in my bones. You know, there's a song that said, take me back. Oh, take me back, dear Lord, to the place, where I first received you. Take me back. Oh, take me back, dear Lord, where I was really, you know, take me back. Oh, Lord, I pray, take me back, dear Lord, to the place, where I first received you. Everybody needs to pray that prayer. Take me back, dear Lord, where I was really. You know, the song goes on to say, look, I know I've been blessed, but yet my soul's not satisfied. You know, renew my faith, restore my joy, and dry my weeping eyes. God will dry your weeping eyes. I will pour waters upon him that is thirsty, and upon him the dry soul. If you want a moving of his presence and want to experience it in your life, I invite you, join me here. And let's take a few minutes and call upon the Lord. I'm going to ask everybody that wants God's presence in their lives. If you want a visitation, you want transformation, there's a yearning in your heart which cannot be filled by anything else. You know that there is a void in your life. And you know how you used to once be fired up. I want you to come and pray with me. I want you to pray in your own words. Don't wait for me to lead you in a prayer. Raise your voice up to the Lord and be sincere. And ask for his presence. Ask for his grace. And ask for his mercy. Oh Lord, our God. Oh Lord, my God, my soul thirsted for thee. Fill my heart, oh God. Fill my heart, oh God. My soul thirsted for thee. My soul thirsted for thee. I pray, Lord, that you put the garment of praise upon us. The spirit of prayer, revive it in our souls. Let the fire be burning. Let it never be put out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, Lord. Today we pour out our souls before you, Lord. Fill my soul, Lord. Fill my soul, Lord. Fill my soul, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.